Welcome back, everyone, to a wonderful new episode of Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are so excited to be covering one of the most anticipated shows of the spring here in New York. And joining us to talk to us about it, we've got the director, Adrian D. Williams, and the playwright, Kia Cawthorn. They're here to talk to us about King Company and Working Theater's presentation of Fish. It's happening March 19th through April 20th, and it's happening at Theater Row. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting kingcompany.org. As I mentioned, there's so much buzz around this show. It's very, very exciting, and we are so honored to be able to bring you the inside scoop on this. So with that, let's welcome on our guest today, Adrian Kia. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yes, really excited.
I'm very excited to be talking with both of you about this show. I mean, I've heard nothing but great things already, and this was already on our radar clear back like last fall. So the anticipation is boiling, and I want to start by asking you, Kia, you know, can you tell us a little bit about what Fish is about?
Yeah, it was actually back in, I think 2018, maybe. King Company has a playwrights group that goes in the calendar year from January to December of mid-career playwrights. And they take three playwrights at a time. And they asked me to be a part of that group that year. I think it was 2018. And I was thinking a lot about the public school system at that time. And so I wrote this play addressing the contemporary public school system. And I really wanted to address it both from the perspective of students, a student in the play, and a teacher. And yeah, that's kind of what I'd say about it.
Amazing. As a former teacher myself, I'm so anxious to see this. Wonderful. So what inspired you to write the piece? Where did you get your idea for it?
I'm not even sure exactly where I got the idea. I mean, it's just that I've been thinking for a while about the public school system. And I've never been a teacher, although I've gone into the public schools, sometimes for like a teaching artist gig here and there. But yeah. I mean, I feel like it's something that's, you know, always in the political atmosphere now. It, you know, more recently, critical race theory, banning books, you know, all those things that always becomes a political football. And I just really wanted to look at it from the perspective of this one particular student and one particular teacher.
That's wonderful. Adrian, as the director, I would love to know, how did you come upon this piece?
Through Keen Company. So Jonathan, who's the artistic director of Keen, and I had discussed working on a project together, I would say maybe a couple of seasons ago, and the timing didn't work out. And we said, hey, you know, we'll keep in touch. We'll talk each other. Maybe something else will happen some other time, you know, that kind of thing. And then when they decided to produce Fish, he reached out to me as like a possible director for it. And that's when we started having conversations. And then he and I got to meet as well.
But we met before.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I meant meet about Fish.
but we've known each other for a long time. Yes.
Kia and I met when we both were working with Circle Rep. Like, I used to be an actor in Circle Rep Lab, and that was like right after I got out of grad school. So that's when we originally met. So that we've known each other for a while.
I couldn't even have said when we met. I just know we've known each other a long time. Yes.
I love that. So as we are getting ready for performances to begin very, very soon, Adrian, what has it been like developing the piece?
You know, it's been really lovely. We got together and actually had a 29-hour workshop back in October, which was really kind of nice. It was an opportunity to sit around the table with a lovely group of actors. actors and just sort of, you know, like work our way through it and hear the words out loud and, you know, really think about, hey, this is working in this way and this isn't working. And we'd really like to, like, you know, Kia like did a little rewrites here and there. And so it was like really kind of exciting to like hear it around a table sort of live rather than just getting to read it. So it was really exciting for me to get that opportunity early on to hear it out loud through actors. And then when we came back together to cast it was even more exciting somehow, for like when we know like these were actually going to be the actors that we were going to go into the production with. And it's been really, I've been a really exciting experience. I mean, we have a great cast. The cast is so good. And so it's really been exciting and fun work in the room because the actors are all really good and really committed. And so it's been a really fun experience.
That is wonderful. I love when there's just great camaraderie, and like, because you can sense that as an audience member. You can tell when the company is really close and they get each other. Just, I don't know, there's something different about it, if that makes sense. I don't know if I'm just kind of rambling, but you know, no, that's wonderful though. Kia, I want to come to you next for this question. And I'm curious to know, is this the world premiere of the show or has it been done elsewhere?
Yeah, this is the world premiere.
Amazing. So it's gearing up for its world premiere, which is fantastic. And I'm curious to know, is there a message or a thought you hope audiences will take away from the piece?
I mean, that's always a tough question for me. I mean, I do always hope with all of my plays, you know, I feel like I've been successful if at least one audience member leaves thinking differently than they came. Yeah, I mean, I guess I would like them to see how, you know, both students and teachers are sort of caught in the middle of all this political firestorm. And yeah, and maybe to think about what we can do to change that.
I really like that. I truly do. Adrian, I want to come to you with that same question. Again, with you being the director, is there a message or thought you are hoping audiences take away from Fish?
Well, it's interesting. You were talking about, you know, the school system. I went to school here in the school system. And when I went to school here, you could absolutely go to the school nearest you. But what happened is that parents started saying, listen, the school nearest my child may not be very well funded. And my child deserves to go to a school that's well funded. And so in order for that parent to be able to have that happen, they had to go do research and fill out forms so that they were allowed to have their child go to that other school. And for a while, there was actually a time when people would, like, say, if your sister lived in a school district that you really liked, you would use your sister's address so that your child could go to that school because you really liked that school. So the system, I think, across America are really strange in terms of education. And I feel like sometimes we have lost sight of the fact of how important education is, and that education is not just about what we teach in schools. It's about the citizens we create. It's about who will be our next politician, who will be our next head of our community, who will be our leaders. We are creating the leaders of our future. And so when we let them down, we let our community down. And so I just feel like that's so important. And so for me, like, I feel like Fish is very much about bringing people back to that thought and how important education is, and that it's really a bigger question. Because really, this education is determining our future, whether we think about it today or not.
Amen. Say it again for the people in the back, because that's so freaking lootly. So that leads to my final question of this first part, which is, who do you hope have access to Fish? And Adrian, if I can start with you, please, on that.
Well, absolutely. I feel like it's important that students have access, and both Keen and Working, I feel, are committed to making sure that students get to see this piece. There's a sliding scale on prices. It really is, you know, a beautiful thing. I think that they are committed to having students come into a theater and see themselves represented there. I also think that there's also something in people coming into the theater to see this show that maybe have only thought about this subject from one side of the conversation. Mm-hmm. Because very often when people talk about education, we talk about it in terms of politics. You know, it's you know, it's somebody's agenda who's running for office and they say they're going to do, you know, and we talk about it from that point of view. So I think the thing that Fish does that is unique is that it talks about it from the point of view of the people who are living it and going through it, the students and the teachers. And so it gives people who don't have that perspective an opportunity to see that perspective and maybe hear the issues a little differently so that they walk out of the theater then thinking a little differently and maybe asking some more questions.
I love that. I absolutely love that. What a wonderful answer. Kia, how about you? Who do you hope have access to your work?
Well, I definitely second Adrienne's emotion. But also, taking off something she said, it is fantastic that there are financially accessible tickets for everybody, actually. I mean, it's sort of like there are discount tickets to every performance. First come, first serve. So I keep telling my friends, do it early, right? But yeah, because it's an issue that affects us all. I don't have kids, but it is an issue that affects us all. As also Adrienne was saying that, you know, it's the future. You know, that's what education was about originally. It's not in the Constitution to have public school system. It became, I don't think so. I'll have to reread my Constitution, but I'm pretty sure it is not. But it came about because to create active citizens. And so, you know, when we come to a place where it's like, teaching to the test when it's just, you know, this is how you fill in enough answers to pass this standardized test. And it's not when we moved away from critical thinking. I mean, I would say that I think some of it is politically deliberate because if young people do not have that permission to think critically, then they go along with the status quo and will never dissent from what they are given in society and by politicians. And so it is all about them owning that.
Second part of our interviews, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests. And I would love, love to get to know the two of you better. Pull the curtain back, if you will. And I want to start by asking the two of you, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites? And Adrienne, can I start first with you on that, please?
Yeah. And I'm inspired by lots of playwrights, you know, including my present company. And I think the thing that always gets me about like a playwright is I like to go into a theater and come out with a perspective that I didn't have before. You know, like I love it when somebody like totally, I go in thinking something's really simple and then it ends up being really complex, you know, and then I come out, well, oh my God, I didn't know, like I never thought of it that way. So I love that experience, you know, and I feel like I'm lucky. I feel like we live in a time when there are, you know, Kia Crothrons and Lynn Nottages and Dominique Morisseau's and like people who are like really taking things that are education and family and growth and giving us the complex answer and not the simple ABC answer. And I feel like that's so exciting to me. You know, I'm actually feeling a little spoiled sometimes because, you know, I'm so like now like, oh, I'm going to go see the new, you know, like play here that, you know, like this person wrote because I know they're going to give me something juicy. And so I get really excited about that. And I, you know, I just, yeah, like I'm still really sort of excited and passionate about theater. I know when I come out of a theater and I'm like thinking and talking and I can't go home yet because I have to go somewhere and talk about it. Like there's something so exciting for me about that, that's like my dream theater.
I love that. Oh my gosh. We need to become Facebook official friends because yes. I'm 1,000% with you. I wonder who inspires you.
I mean, I agree with the type of theater that you're both talking about. I know I was actually really happy that last year, I think she was like either her late 80s or even 90, that Adrian Kennedy finally got a show on Broadway. Like I was, that made me so happy. You know, someone who came out of a Black woman who came out of sort of the La Mama in the 60s, sort of expressionistic, surreal work especially when Black writers weren't being so experimental. And so actually that made me very happy. You know, there was I don't want to take credit for this because I overheard another playwright say it once, but what he said struck me because it was exactly the way I would feel. And he articulated it is, whatever show that I go to, you know, you go in, you get your program, you're reading, blah, 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 chatter, chatter in the audience. And then everything goes black. And, you know, there's the possibility that anything could happen now. And some of it may not be really good, but some of it just may be glorious. And I love that moment of anticipation.
That is such a gorgeous answer. I love it. Well, I would love to ask the two of you now, what is your favorite part about working in the theater? And Kia, if I could start first with you on that.
You know, it's funny because I was sort of exploring that a few years ago because I've written a couple of novels, but this was just in recent years. And so I actually wrote this article. I was asked to write this article about comparing the writing in both. And probably what can be most frustrating about theater, depending on how it goes, is collaboration. What is most exciting about theater is collaboration. It's like, because it's all right. It is just when everybody is on board, it is so riveting to see it. Yeah, there and live, and the audience is a part of it. That's the best theater for me, is when I'm not talking about getting volunteers from the audience, but when it's so present that they are gasping and holding their breath because the moment is so present for them, that's what's most exciting to me about theater.
Such a fantastic answer. That's really fantastic. Adrian, what about you?
Yeah, I really think for me, it really is about the ride. In theater, the ride is visceral. And it's in the moment and it's present. And at any moment, it could change. So there's that excitement because, you know, even though it happened last night, it's not going to happen exactly the same way tonight. And, you know, I work a little in film and in theater, and people ask me a lot, like, what's the difference? Which one do you like better? And I always say theater because I feel like it's so present and it's so visceral, and you have to literally get on the roller coaster and take the ride and see where it takes you. And if you see that theater piece four times, it's going to take you on four different rides. It's not exactly the same ride. And you're going to come out thinking, ooh, this time this popped out at me, or this time this popped out at me, or this time I remembered this, because it happens in the moment. And you're in the moment, with other people. So we're all living through that moment at the same time at that point. The audience and the actors, we are all engaged in a moment of art. And I just don't think you get that in that many places. So I feel like art, you know, theater does it in a way that for me is always exciting.
Those are magnificent answers. Yes. Oh, you should give me life for the theater. And I want to snowball off of that idea into my favorite question to ask guests, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
Oh, I have one. So I went to see a trip to Bountiful with Cecily Tyson. And I had seen the film version of A Trip to Bountiful. I had never seen it in the theater. And I went, of course, because Cecily Tyson was in it. And I had a theater experience that I don't even know if I can truthfully describe it. She really was so alive. She held the audience in the palm of her hand. And I was in an audience of people that was a very mixed audience. You know, there were definitely people there from different countries, different neighborhoods, different communities, but somehow they were all kind of spellbound in this way that was fascinating. And when she got to the part where she sings the song, all of a sudden, literally, and I was in a huge theater, it's a huge Broadway house, everyone started to sing with her as if she had directed them to do it, and she hadn't. She was just there, and literally this entire house started singing with her. It was, I can't describe it. It was chilling. Like, it was so amazing how we were all bonded in that moment with her. It was magnificent. And I think I'll never forget it as long as I live, because it was just such an experience in the theater.
I love that memory. Kia, I'm so excited to hear your favorite theater memory.
I have one. Okay. It had to be at least 20, 25 years ago. It was at St. Anne's Warehouse in Brooklyn. It was a Mabu Mines production of A Dollhouse. And I remember the actress who played Nora had this long blonde wig on. And I remember she sort of talked like this, like a little girl and blah, 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 right? All of the men in the play, not the women, all of the men were played by little people. And what was amazing, you can think of whatever concept you want that to be or what they, you know, what they intended. The concept wasn't amazing. What was incredible was these were astonishing actors that usually wouldn't get work. And because of whatever concept, I think it was Lee Brewer had, that they were the actors in this place. I remember one part, oh my gosh, of, was it Torvald or the other one? I can't remember, but it's like just this moment.
Frogstaff.
He's like standing on some sort of pedestal and she's like on the floor and he opens his coat in this very dramatic way because she was right at the height to give him a little beat. And funny, but also, so there's four acts, right? So it was hilarious but brilliant all at once. And then the fourth act, the last act, which I think was the fourth act, suddenly the whole stage clears and Nora with the little voice takes off the wig and has this close cropped hair, and she's speaking in this very deep voice. It was incredible, the whole production, and stayed with me all these years.
Wow, what a memory, what a production. That's amazing. That's amazing. Thank you both for sharing those incredible memories. Those are some of the best I think I've heard, so thank you for that. As we wrap things up, I want to ask the two of you, do either of you have any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
Here's a funny thing. While I was researching Phish, I came across this incredible teacher named Anna Julia Cooper. She was born into slavery, but in the South, in Raleigh, but emancipation came when she was a child. And she became this just astounding teacher. She and speaker and feminist, very much in terms of Black education and Black girls' education. She wrote this book called A Voice from the South, which was like this huge seller around the world in 1892. She's the only woman quoted on your U.S. passport, though so few people know about her. And she spent most of her teaching life in Washington, D.C. So after the first draft of Phish, I got a commission for Arena Stage. And it was such a DC story that I said, I'd like to write about this. That play is going on right now. I had back-to-back world premieres. So that's called Tempestuous Elements. It's running right now in DC. It runs until March 17th. And the first performance of Phish is March 19th. So yes.
Amazing. That is anything for you, Adrian?
Well, truthfully, I have had a kind of a roller coaster of work going on these days. And I truthfully am going on vacation as soon as Phish closes. I am going on vacation. I am planning vacation by a beach, warm water, and I can't think about it until then, but I'm planning a vacation.
Yes, a well-deserved vacation. Well, that leads to my final question to ask the two of you, and that is, if our listeners would like more information about Phish or about either of you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
I have a website, but I always forget what it is.
I was totally doing the same thing. I was going, what is my website again?
It's called like Kia Corthron-author, maybe. If you look up Kia Corthron website, it should pop up. So that's for me, but you should Keen Company, K-E-E-N, or The Working Theater. Look for Phish on either of those.
Yes. And my website is adriandwilliams.com. And it's somebody made this website for me. So it's a very lovely. And it features the acting, directing, teaching, music, and writing. So it's really cool.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you both so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Thank you.
This has been so much fun.
Yes, thank you.
I could talk to the two of you for hours on end. You are some of the most fascinating guests we've had, and I am so excited about this show. I cannot wait to see it. So I appreciate your time sharing this with us today.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. This was really a lot of fun.
Wonderful to hear. My guests today have been the amazing director, Adrian D. Williams, and the incredible playwright, Kia Corthron, who both are part of the upcoming production of Phish, which is being presented by King Company and Working Theater. You can catch it March 19th through April 20th at Theater Row, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting kingcompany.org. We also have some contact information for our guests, which will be posted in our social media posts, as well as on our episode description. But you are going to want to run, not walk, and get your tickets now. This is going to sell out. It's all the buzz right now here in New York. So make sure you get your tickets now for Phish, playing March 19th through April 20th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar,
Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.